Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. This hour is sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. Visit 5HourEnergy.com. Replace your afternoon coffee with a 5-Hour Energy. It's perfect when you're feeling coffeeed out. And your stomach will thank you as well. Discover 5-Hour Energy. Learn more at 5HourEnergy.com. As I said, we are in the Happy Hour. Padres with a day off today, and they could use it. They had a little bit of, I would say, a small wave of bad news yesterday. Juan Soto exited the B game with a slight oblique discomfort. Yeah.
I know Tony's trying to say it very kindly.
Delicately.
Like, if you say it nicely, it won't hurt him so much. It was just a little tiny bit of an oblique injury. I hope you're right, Tony. I hope that's all it is. So that this is, definitely concerns me. Obliques are a pain in the butt or a pain in the side or whatever.
Both. Yeah. One literally, one figuratively.
Exactly.
Austin Nola also got hit in the nose yesterday. I actually saw this. It looked like he might have been able to avoid major injury. Fastball up near the face. It got underneath. I think it clipped the helmet, but it got underneath it, and it sounds like it caught his nose. Whether it's broken or not, I don't know, but I know he was bleeding instantly. He didn't lose consciousness at any point, so I don't know where we are in terms of concussion, but this is a worry, right? Because Austin Nola is the guy who has the most experience and was going to likely carry the bulk load of catching with Luis Camposano, who is not as experienced, but a lot of talent. They also have Brett Sullivan as well, who just got back. He was in
Who did he play for? Canada, right?
No, Australia.
Australia.
Italy.
Italy. Oh, Italy. That wasn't even close.
I think it was Italy. All right?
I'm pretty sure it was Italy.
I'll look it up. He's back now, and you know, we might be having a different conversation had he not been at the WBC, but now all of a sudden with Nola's injury really in question, because we don't know if he's going to miss time, and if he does, how long that will be. But the catcher position is kind of important for this team, not necessarily from an offensive standpoint, Chris, but being able to hold, you know, the 5-6 starters, including the bullpen that you also got to command.
To me, it's one of the most important positions on the field, especially defensively, right? And we talked about it last year when there was some talk, remember, heading into August and the trade deadline about Wilson Contreras coming to the Padres. And I remember the thing I thought was, as much as it sounds like it'd be really great to have Wilson Contreras and the bat, and he is a good fielder, it's not that he's not, I just didn't want to take a chance of even messing at all with the starting rotation having to deal with a new catcher, or a catcher having to learn a new starting rotation as they went down the stretch. And I don't know whether, you know, that was a reason why the Padres did or didn't get Wilson Contreras, but I've always felt when your pitching staff is comfortable with a catcher, don't mess it up. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, interesting. Camposano certainly can do the job, but are the Padres pitcher is going to be as comfortable with him? The answer is probably not, at least not at the very beginning. So,
yeah,
it's going to take some time, but I mean, you got to deal with what you got to deal with. And it's not a good excuse for a pitcher, to say, well, I wasn't that comfortable with the catcher, so I was struggling. That's no good. You got to just get the guys out.
I have a this was asked many times for Padres pen pals, but I kind of knew the answer, so I didn't include it. But I'm going to bring it now. Ethan Salas, any chance we see him this year?
At 16 any point? Years old?
16 years old.
No.
Yeah. He's just too new.
I mean, listen, Ethan is – I got a chance. I met him for the first time in the hallway yesterday. Just introduced myself. He is beyond his years in terms of his communication skills, which, you know, it might not sound like that's a huge deal, but considering what position he's playing, it's a huge deal.
Yeah. Got to have a lot of confidence to play there.
1,000%. And he has a lot of confidence. He's a big kid. He's only going to grow into his body. But, you know, there's some seasoning that needs to take place there. At 16, I mean, the mere fact that he was playing, I mean, just playing in a spring training game is remarkable. But I don't see that right now. Not this year, at least. You know,
I know that
you give him a full year of minor league baseball and you give him a chance to show that maybe he can take those type of jumps, possibly in the years to come, but I don't see it this year.
You know, I know that Robin Yount played Major League Baseball. I'm pretty sure he was 16. Maybe he had just turned 17, the Milwaukee Brewers. And that's shortstop, I mean, when he started. And Yount's a Hall of Famer, two-time, you know, MVP. And you say, well, you know, if he did it, maybe it's not impossible. I can't imagine there's a catcher too much under the age of 20 that's ever starred in the major leagues. I don't have a, you know, list of every catcher, but for that age, yeah, that's just not ready to happen quite yet. You got to give him a little time.
18. Robin Yount
was 18.
See? 18.
So there you go. Yeah, 16 catching in the big leagues.
There's just so much. And listen, 16, first of all, Robin Yount going into Major League Baseball at 18 in 1974 is a completely different monster than Salas going into the big leagues. Let's say even at 18 in 2023, there is a much younger crowd that he is going to walk into a clubhouse with versus what Robin Yount. Robin Yount walked into a clubhouse at 18 with like grown men, grizzled men at that point. You know, Ethan has at least had that going for him. If he were to come up to the big leagues at 18, he wouldn't be so much of a fish out of water as Robin Yount was in 74, and that's probably a good thing. But that position is, there's so much demand from that position that, you know, you're not having Ethan Salas up because his offense is going to be a game changer. You're bringing him up. You're bringing him up because his catching, his defensive catching is a game changer, and that involves knowing your pitchers, knowing the league. And so there's just so much that goes into catching that it just makes it unlikely to come up that early. There's a reason why most catchers come up to the big leagues. They're in their 20s. They're a little bit older a lot of times.
Not to mention, you know, like in Rookie of the Year, when he walked into the clubhouse for the first time, it was very awkward with all those men that are
that's
in the
what
clubhouse.
It was, that's probably what it was like for Robin Yount when he walked in there.
I know I would be scared, honestly.
The youngest ever to play in Major League Baseball, if you're wondering out there, Joe Nuxall.
Yep.
Who went on to be a pitcher and broadcaster for the Cincinnati Reds, Tony. I don't know if you ever got to know Joe. He probably retired or, you know, gave up broadcasting before you were in the booth there. But Joe Nuxall was 15 years old when he pitched for the Reds in 1944. Now, there's a reason why this happened. It was during the war years.
Yeah.
Teams much shorter on their rosters, and a 15-year-old was able to pitch in a game in Major League Baseball. But, I can't imagine you're going to see Ethan Salas at this point. You know, speaking of young Padres, though, one of our old friends, Luis Urias, just touched off a 3-run homer for Mexico and has given Team Mexico a 3-0 lead over Japan in the semifinals of the World Baseball Classic, Tony. This is a game they were in the top of the fourth inning, but Urias just unloaded one deep into the seats out there. You know, Urias has turned into an okay player.
Yes,
I was just
getting ready to say it.
Yeah,
I was just getting ready to say it.
He has turned
into a pretty good player, and he's really just getting the opportunity these last couple years in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
to be to have that opportunity. He's taking advantage. He's trying to give us our starting pitcher back right now, isn't he? He's trying to end Japan's chances and send you Darvish back to
Arizona. Thank you, Luis. I don't want to root outwardly against Japan, but that would be a good reason to get Darvish back here and in a Padre uniform if Mexico can win this game. Of course, the finals are tomorrow, but tomorrow Darvish might be pitching for Team Japan if they get into that game. So, and that could delay his chance to start pitching again for the Padres. But 3-0 Mexico jumps in front.
You wonder though, if he doesn't pitch, if they get eliminated, like how soon can he get here? Like if he's flying out tomorrow, that means he's not going to pitch tomorrow, which means now his days might be a little bit jacked up. So you wonder if it's better for him to go ahead and pitch tomorrow, because you do want him to be getting those innings in as opposed and be lining it up. We'll see, how does that line up? We'd have to figure out the days in terms of opening day.
His internal clock has to be so messed up, because they were just in Asia for Japan, like 2 weeks,
right?
And now they're in Miami, and now he's going to come back from Miami to Peoria. I mean, that is wild.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to iron out, and even as of yesterday, it doesn't sound like Bo Mel had been able to communicate with whoever's over there in terms of how they plan on using you, Darvish.
Jeff Passan just tweeted something a couple minutes ago. This pitcher for Japan, Roki Sasaki, he's like the new it guy who may be coming over to Major League Baseball. But out of 20 pitches, 19 of them were over 100 miles an hour. His average, 100.5 miles an hour on his fastballs.
He only looks like he's about 130 pounds soaking wet.
I know. I don't know how he's throwing. He threw one at 101.8.
Yeah, Marias hit one out the other way, about 150, going back at him and over the fence. So, and these big league hitters, man, they're really something, Tony. I mean, 100 miles an hour and you're squaring it up and hit, not just hitting it.
They're like,
you're
crushing
it. 400 feet. God.
Hey,
how they do it is beyond me.
No doubt about it. Sometimes you wonder if the guns are hot a little bit. You know,
yeah.
there are some fantastic swings. And remember, the guns now are out of the hand. You know, the guns used to be at the plate. So obviously the farther it gets away from the initial energy source, the less velocity you have. So I think that plays a part into it as well. But these dudes are definitely used to seeing that type of velocity nowadays, because they see it every day in the big leagues. All right, let's step away, get to break. When we come back, Mark Ziegler joins us next. We'll talk a little more Aztecs when we return. More Gwen and Chris, there's some traffic.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Back on the program at 519, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Little Gwynn and Chris for you. On a Monday afternoon, week of NCAA basketball, Sweet 16, tournament that the Aztecs are still a part of, as you know. Pulled off the wins in rounds 1 and 2 of the NCAA tournament, beating Charleston and Furman. Why couldn't they bring along Clemson or just University of South Carolina? Keep the theme going. Aztecs already with 2 victories over South Carolina teams. Now they get number 1 ranked Alabama. Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union-Tribune, hopefully will join us shortly. Talk a little bit more about the Aztecs and just the way they played Saturday, Tony. It was such a wonderful thing to do, to see, to be a fan. I had somebody come up to me after and goes, yeah, the game was a blowout. And I'm going, exactly, just the way I liked it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's how we wanted it to be.
That's how we drew it up. All right, Mark Ziegler joins us from the San Diego Union-Tribune, Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Mark, the Aztecs never seem to do anything easy. Should we be a little surprised in a lot of ways that they just absolutely put everything possible together in that game on Saturday?
Well, you know, you'd like to think that you could see this coming. I mean, they had put together some really good halves. They had some really good offensive stretches. They had some really good defensive stretches. You know, they also had some bad ends of games and blew leads. But they just kept talking about, look, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. We're gonna have this perfect game. We're not perfect game, but complete game. And then all of a sudden it happened at the most opportune time. I mean, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there are going to say, oh, well, they beat a 12 seed and a 13 seed. They're both from mid-major conferences. They just overwhelmed them with their size. And, you know, if they were playing anybody else, they would be in the Sweet 16. I would say, look, maybe that's true, but I also would say there are a lot of teams on Saturday that the Aztecs would have beat, a lot of teams in this field if they're playing like they did. And those teams should probably be lucky that they weren't playing the Aztecs on that day. Now, we'll see if they can replicate it against the number one overall seed. The team I think is the best team in the tournament. But for that day, for those 40 minutes, that was a pretty good performance.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Mark, let's talk about this matchup coming up on Friday. I mean, what do you think prepares this Aztec ball club to go up against, as you said, many believe, the best team remaining in this tournament?
Well, you know, I was at practice today, and they're working against a scout team. And look, they have one of the best scout teams in the country. I mean, they have a scout team that's got veteran guys, they're tough guys, pretty good size for a scout team. You know, they can throw a couple 6'10s out there. They got a 6'6 wing. They can put a couple 6'4 thick senior guards out there. Got a real fast guard in Jared Barnett. You know, they could probably compete in the Mountain West, at least the bottom of the Mountain West. But there's no way you can replicate what Alabama's going to throw out there when you walk out there and the 3-man is 6'9", Brandon Miller, who is maybe the most athletic player in the country. And there's just nothing you can do about it until you're actually in the game. And you know, they played against athletic teams. That's why going to Maui was important. They played against Arkansas, who's kind of similar to them. But I think Arkansas and Alabama, you know, they're similar in terms of size and length and all those things. I think Alabama's just like a step above them. Another level up. And so I don't know how you can prepare for that. Go in your memory banks, remember those games early in the year. But I think they have so much confidence, and they have confidence in their defense that, you know, we can shut down anybody, and I think that's the attitude they're taking.
Not that this is the same kind of David versus Goliath matchup, Mark, but, I mean, I take comfort in knowing that Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue. Princeton beat Missouri, beat the pants off of them after beating Arizona. Furman beat Virginia. I mean, we've seen it happen. How does it happen in the NCAA tournament? What are we going to be looking for on Friday when this game gets started to say, hey, you know what, we got a good shot?
I think the two statistical areas you got to look at are three-point shooting from Alabama. They take a ton of threes, just like the last three teams they played, Utah State in the Mountain West Final, and then Charleston, and then Furman. They all take a ton of threes. And San Diego State's one of the best teams in the country at defending three-point line. You can shoot them, but they're going to be really hard threes, and you're probably not going to make them. And let's see what kind of shooting percentage Alabama has behind the arc. And then the second thing is rebounding. They've got to be able to rebound and not give up offensive rebounds, and maybe get a few offensive rebounds themselves if they're not shooting great. And those are the two areas I think it can happen if Alabama has a bad shooting night. And look, listen, they're the better team. There's no doubt about it. If they played 100 times, Alabama's is winning the majority of them. But in a one-off game, you know, if they have a bad shooting night or San State's able to wear them down with their physicality, get to the free throw line, grab some rebounds, keep them off the offensive glass, you know, limit turnovers, keep them from running, I think they're in the game. I think their defense just keeps them in the game. And then the intangibles, the mental intangibles take over. I mean, is Alabama team expected to win, roll over all these teams? They start to tighten up. San Diego State, it's all gravy now. They're playing loose and free. They just let it rip. And you know, maybe they can pull something out in that scenario.
Mark Ziegler joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. He's covered the Aztecs all season long. And Mark, my question really, of all the teams, let's put aside the team that didn't get an opportunity to play in the tournament, because, you know, we just don't know how far they could have gone. They certainly have an excellent season. Is this the best team for this type of matchup, considering the depth that this Aztec team has?
Well, they're bigger and thicker, so they have more strength to them. I still think that 2010-11 team was the best team. I thought it was the best team in the tournament that year, and they ran to an incredibly hot UConn team that ended up winning it all, and deservedly so. I thought that was the national championship game. I mean, you can make an argument that game in the Sweet 16 in Anaheim was the national championship game, and that whoever won that was going to win it. This team is so together, though. They are such a team in the fact that, you know, the sense that, you know, they go nine deep and they genuinely don't care who scores the points, and they know it's going to be a different guy every night. And it's rare, particularly in this era of me and NIL and trying to get as much as you can in the area of entitlement with high school players. It's rare to see that. And that's what makes this team special. And maybe it makes them more equipped to handle a game like this. I don't know. I mean, the 2010-11 team, you know, with Kawhi and Malcolm and Billy and Chase and DJ and all those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't get it done. Maybe this team gets it done. But it's going to be just as tall of a task because anyone who watched Alabama play Maryland and saw they didn't play very well early and then saw what they did to them in the second half, I mean, that was a little scary.
I was definitely scared, I must tell you. I mean, I'd love to come on here all week and just pop off, you know, and just say a bunch of grand statements about, you know, how the Aztecs are going to whoop up on Alabama, but I know it's not going to be easy. Mark, just real quick on Brian Dutcher and his staff. These guys had to take a great deal of satisfaction out of the way the kids played on Saturday, and I just don't know that Dutch gets a lot of credit. He doesn't want any credit. They tried to ask him after the game how he was feeling.
I did.
You know, he just said, hey, it's, you know, I'm just happy for the kids. But this had to be a great weekend for him. And, you know, just for the San Diego State basketball program, you wrote about it today. I mean, to be the only game on Saturday and get this kind of national attention, it's a great thing moving forward no matter what happens upcoming this weekend.
It really is. And I think, you know, for the coaches and the staff, they kind of felt that pressure about, oh, hadn't, you know, Dutch hadn't won a tournament game. Dutch never felt it. I mean, and if he did, he never let anybody know he felt it. He genuinely didn't care, I don't think. But everyone around him, you know, all of us, whether it's media, fans, players, assistant coaches, they all felt it. And for them to get that first win against Charleston, that was a huge, huge, huge relief for everybody. And you could just sense it. You could almost see it, you know, and they got in that game against Furman and they played loose and free and just kicked the crap out of them. And I think that was a big part of what happened. You asked earlier, you know, how did they kind of pull that off? I think that was a big part of it. I think they just were relaxed by, okay, we got the game that we needed to get. It was ugly, but we won it and that's behind us and there's no more pressure and let's go. And that's, you know, you notice they didn't celebrate that much afterwards either because they think they're winning more games. These guys, you know, don't tell these guys that they're the underdogs on Friday. They just don't believe it. They think they're going to the Final Four, and they're supremely confident, and that game just fed into that. So, Dutch just kind of moves along at the same pace and same demeanor, and, you know, I genuinely don't think it mattered to him, but it mattered to everybody else.
Mattered to me. I was pretty happy about it. I got to tell you, Mark, you've done an amazing job all year. Your articles have been tremendous. I honestly pick up the paper every day to hear what you got to say, read what you got to say, and appreciate you coming on and sharing all your knowledge with us on the show, and hopefully we get a chance to do it again next week ahead of a Final Four. Who knows? Maybe this is indeed the magic year for San Diego State. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Appreciate it.
All right, he's great. Mark Ziegler from the San Diego Union Tribune joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Tony, I hope he's right about the celebration part of it, because I did notice that Aztec hardly is celebrated at all on Saturday. Yeah. Not like a lot of these teams with the shaking of the water and the water splashing celebrations. I mean,
the Martinelli's apple juice.
The Martinelli's apple juice is whatever they were around the country.
Do we believe that?
Why?
Yeah, we believe it, Scraby. We believe that people are following the rules.
Okay.
Oh yeah, no, they're following the. This is college kids. They're not bringing champagne.
Oh, college kids have never smoked cigars after a national championship game in the locker room.
Well, that's because Odell Beckham was right there forcing it or giving it to him.
Drunk.
Yes. All right, we'll take a timeout, come back. We're going to talk some more about this great Aztec basketball team with J.D. Luster, our interview of the day, when Gwen and Chris continues.
5:37, last segment of the Happy Hour. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, Padres have an off day. They very well might have an off day tomorrow. The forecast is not great as we speak. However, I've told you, storms come over the desert and break up like, I don't know, boxes. That's the best thing I can come
break up like boxes. Very good.
I got to change the promo now.
Who gave you that one? Did you get that one? Did you ask Scraby for a little advice before you
gave
that?
No, I got stuck, and I just thought about myself. I could hear my wife telling me I need to break down the boxes before I put them in recycling.
Break down the boxes before they go into recycling. God, do you and I, we have different wives as far as I'm aware, but sometimes it seems like we got the exact same person.
FYI.
Make sure you break down the box.
Break down the box, shred all the documents. Same old thing in my house.
Randy Rosarena just made an incredible catch in the WBC. But you should have said those clouds break up like all of Scraby's relationships. That would have been much better.
See, that's a personal shot right there. You know, I try to not be personal.
Yeah, we don't take personal shots on this show.
Oh, yeah.
We're not like that.
I'm trying to be a better person these days. I'm trying to take less personal shots of you
we're
guys.
Not like that on this show.
Your kids may not function on demand, but 97.3 The Fan always will. Download or subscribe to the Ben and Woods show, John Quintero's show, and of course, Gwen and Chris podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Been talking a lot of Aztec basketball. As you can imagine, the city's pretty pumped up about this Aztec squad entering the Sweet 16. They have a chance to shock the world, is what I think most people would call it if they come up with the win over Alabama. So you get a chance to hear from J.D. Luster, who is the assistant coach here shortly. We still got a 3-0 game in the WBC.
3-0, bottom of five. Yeah, this Mexico pitcher Sandoval is pitching quite the game for Team Mexico.
Mexico's beat the U.S. three straight.
Ah,
man,
that's not good.
Could we have an all North? What is our continent?
North America.
North American final.
I think we could.
Man, am I a geography champ.
What is
that? It's called North America. My
Can
goodness.
You name all the continents if we're going to get into that?
No, I don't even want to try at this point. After that display, I think it'd be better off not even trying.
Tony's got a look in the camera like he couldn't do it either, so I want
to
hear.
I might be able to. I think I can pull it
Let's
off.
Let's go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You really want to hear all seven continents right now?
North America, South America.
Good.
China. Africa. Or excuse me, Asia.
Okay. You have the other one, Africa.
It's got four.
Europe.
Okay.
Five. Antarctica.
Six.
One more.
Got one more.
Wait, that's not seven?
No.
Oh, Australia.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Nice job,
Boom!
Tony.
Pretty good, Tony.
On command, on with pressure, that was really good.
With the entire city driving home listening?
That was pressure right there.
I stepped into that one.
You did say
China instead of Asia, but you caught yourself.
I had to catch myself.
He's fine.
All right, let's get to break. Or that's not to get to break. Let's get to traffic, and then you get to hear from J.D. Lester.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, we have our guest. Let's joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline, assistant coach of the Aztecs men's hoop team, J.D. Lester, joins us. J.D., I bet you had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Feels good. It was a sweet weekend.
Yeah,
it was indeed. It was indeed. Aztecs advanced to the Sweet 16, and let's start with Thursday's game, because a lot of pundits were picking the upset there, the 12-5 upset. The Aztecs came out, looked to be a little nervous in the early going of that game, but. Got the ship going in the right way and was able to advance to what we saw on Saturday, which was a terrific performance. Just give us your overall take on the weekend and how it went for the fellas.
I think, you know, first give credit to Charleston, College of Charleston. They were a really good team. And I think that's why some people picked them. They won over 30 games in this year. And any team that wins 30 games is a really good team. You know, I thought they had a lot of good pieces. The guys knew their roles. It was unconventional how they played. They want to play really fast. They play about 9-10 guys. They really do a good job of crashing the offensive glass. So, you know, it was a different kind of game. And it also comes with the jitters of playing an NCAA tournament. You're playing with a different ball. I always tell people the lighting in an NCAA tournament is different. It's like you're on a stage. So all those things kind of go into consideration. And I think as our guys got settled, I thought our guys answered the call, and we came out victorious.
As far as the game on Saturday is concerned, J.D. Lester is with us, assistant coach for the Aztecs basketball team. It's got to be incredibly rewarding as a staff to send your guys out there with a plan, to send your guys out there with an idea of what you want to do, and then sit back and watch it all come to fruition. I mean, it just seemed like pretty much everything you guys could have ever hoped for happened on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the beauty of having a veteran team. And, you know, for our guys, for most of them, except three guys, it wasn't their first time playing an NCAA tournament. So some of them kind of knew what to expect. And all year, I think our guys have done a great job of answering the call as far as scouting reports and understanding the game plan and the schematics of the game and what it's called for. And I think it showed on Saturday. You know, guys like Nate Mensa, guys like Adam Seiko, guys that have been in this program, you know, they've done a great job of instilling that culture, that DNA as far as defensive first mentality. And I think that showed in front of, on a national stage on Saturday.
Talk about the dirty work, because you mentioned a rope. He's one of the dirty work guys. I thought on Thursday, Jaden Ladee was a monster on the boards physically. Mm-hmm. Just talk about those two guys and what they bring and the importance, along with Mensa, and the importance of having that physical presence when you get into this time of season.
If you're not a true Aztec fan and really follow and watch every game, you don't understand the importance of a rope. He's probably, I can argue, the most important player on our team. He doesn't score the most points. He doesn't lead us in rebounds. But when it comes to our culture, when it comes to leadership, when it comes to what an Aztec player looks like, he embodies it. And, you know, one of the games that come to mind that we lost is a New Mexico game at home. And that was a game he didn't play in. You know, he got hurt in warm-ups, and he didn't play in that game. And I think, you know, we missed him tremendously, his toughness, his ability to guard multiple positions, his ability to rebound and extend possessions. You know, he does so much for us that don't show up in the stat sheet. And as coaches, it's just we're looking for the next rope, because that's right. How special he is to our team. That's how special he's been to the program over these last 4 to 5 years that he's been here. And then you mentioned Jaden Ladee. You know, Jaden Ladee transferred from TCU. And people don't understand, when you transfer, there's an acclimation process. So the process of getting back adjusted to playing at this level with the speed of the game, playing with refs. You take a whole year off from playing basketball. It's hard to get back in the rhythm of things. And I think our Aztec fans are starting to see now him be comfortable and him get back in a rhythm and adjusted to back playing again against other top athletes. And I think he's been flourishing, and I think it's only going to keep going up from here moving forward. I think he's going to have a big year next year as well.
J.D. Lester and the Aztecs are headed to the Sweet 16. And, J.D., if I recall you as a player, you were a scorer first. And, you know, somebody's got to score the basketball. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, Matt Bradley getting it done, especially on Thursday when they really needed him. You guys really needed him. And Micah Parrish coming off the bench, putting in 16 on Saturday, helping you guys pull away. I thought Trammell kind of rose to the occasion. Butler was outstanding. Your guards, you know, everybody's talking about the physical play, but your guards weren't far behind.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it. You know, we have good balance, and that's a sign of a good team. Any given night, somebody else can step up and lead us in scoring. You know, it could be Jaden Ladee. It could be Lamont Butler on nights. It's been Micah Parrish some nights. And I think that's the biggest difference between this year's team and last year's team. Last year's team, I thought we relied on Matt Bradley to go out and get 20 to 30 points every single night. And when he didn't do it, we really struggled. And this year, I think Matt has been able to take a deep breath and exhale and not put so much pressure on himself to score the ball. And because of that, I think he's been more efficient, and I think the games came a lot easier to him on the offensive end.
J.D., how important was it to see Darian Trammell get going in Saturday's game? He has struggled a little bit in terms of shooting the ball. He's still playing D, still being an Aztec-type player. But how important was it for him to see the ball go through the hole on Saturday?
I think it was huge for him. I think it was huge for our team. You know, March, as you know, it's all about guard play. You know, usually the teams with the better guards – not even better guards to say, but the teams who guards are playing the best this right. time of year usually excel in the tournament. So he's a guy that plays a lot of minutes for us. I think he's top two or three on our team as far as minutes played per game. So he's a guy that, you know, we need him to be a factor out there on the offense and in. And he's capable of scoring a lot of points. He averaged 19 points a game last year at Seattle U. So it's good to see him, you know, hitting shots and playing with a bounce in his steps and playing with confidence.
JD, how happy are you guys as a staff for Brian Dutcher? He refuses to be, or at least to outwardly say that he's excited for himself. But Tony and I are just kind of thinking, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, has had so much unbelievable success at Michigan and as an assistant to Coach Fisher there with the Aztecs. But it's just great to see him get his trip to the Sweet 16, because if anybody deserves it, it's Coach Dutcher.
Absolutely, and, you know, that's kind of who he is. He's a selfless guy. He's a guy who, you know, he promotes everybody around him. But he's an unbelievable coach. I think he's underrated. I think he's one of the best in the country. And, you know, that was really one of the things as a staff we really wanted to do for him. You know,
yeah.
He hasn't won a game in the tournament prior to this year. And, you know, the COVID year, they were 30-2, 30-3. But the tournament got canceled. So we didn't get to see what they would have done that year. But it was important for us to kind of go out there and try to put our best game plan forward so we can win the game for Coach Dutcher. He's a special coach and a special person. Like you said, nobody deserves it more than him. So it was good for him to get that first win in the tournament. And now we're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, Coach Dutch has got two wins now. Looking for more, J.D. Lester joins us, assistant coach for the Aztecs basketball squad. And J.D., let's talk about this matchup coming up on Friday. I have to think that those matchups early in the season against Arizona, against Arkansas, will have to be somewhat of a where you can pull from going into this matchup against Alabama, who was at this point, I think, for most people, is the favorite to win this tournament.
Yeah, they're the number one overall seed. So I think most people would agree with you as far as, you know, them being favored to win tournament. I think as far as a talent standpoint, I think they match up with the Arkansas and the likes of Arizona. I think those teams are just as talented across the board, 1 through 13. And I think it gives us a great deal of confidence going into Maui and have an opportunity to win against Arkansas and playing Arizona tight for about 30 to 35 minutes of that game. So, you know, I don't think our guys would be – it would be a culture shock as far as their length and athleticism and the talent on the floor. We played one of the toughest non-conference schedules in the country. I think it was the number 9 hardest schedule in the country as far as our non-conference play. So, our guys are battle-tested. I don't think at all they're going to go into this game intimidated or see something they haven't seen throughout the year. You know, I feel like this is the ultimate test. The tournament is the ultimate test, and I think throughout the year we've done a good job of preparing our guys for this test. So I think they're more than prepared, and I think we'll go out and we'll compete and we'll give it our best.
JD, just reading a couple of the experts, and I just like to read these to coaches so you can, you know, put it up on a bulletin board somewhere if you want to. But one guy at ESPN says, I'm not sure San Diego State can keep up offensively. Another guy at ESPN says bluntly, this might not be close. We know better. We know you guys are going to go in there with a fighting chance and a great opportunity to win this basketball game. Do you like the idea of being an underdog? Because basically all year long in the conference, you guys are the team everybody's shooting for.
Yeah, I mean, but throughout this tournament, you know, we haven't been the favorites, you know. Like you guys mentioned, the experts were saying Charleston. They like Charleston chances of upsetting us. Once Furman won, they talked about Slauson and him being a pro and their point guard having a chance to be a professional as well. So, now, our guys, they do a great job of just focusing on what they can control. And all we can control is our preparation and how we go into the game on Friday. And that's what we're going to control. But we're used to being in this position, playing in the Mountain West. You know, outside of the Mountain West, not too many people, you know, give us a whole lot of credit. But we know how special a place this is. We know how special these guys are on this roster. And, you know, we're looking forward to going in and competing against, you know, who people think is the favorites to win it all.
J.D. Lester joins us, assistant Aztec basketball coach for San Diego State. And J.D., I'll ask you this. What is the focus in this matchup going in? You guys obviously were tremendous offensively and defensively in that last matchup. Alabama presents some different issues that you'll have to deal with. What will be the focus going up against this Crimson Tide team?
Well, you know, first of all, they got Brandon Miller, who's arguably the best player in college basketball. He's 6'9". People compare him to Kevin Durant as far as his skill set. He's a guy who, at his size, can score at all three levels. He can play in the post. He's very gifted, shoot over 40% from three. So he's a big focal point going into this game. Also, transition, they really want to get out and fast. They play at one of the faster paces in college basketball. They'll shoot the ball within the first 10 seconds. So our transition defense has to be elite. We have to get back. And then we got to be able to guard the ball. You know, they got a lot of different guys, whether it's Sears or Quinterly, on the perimeter, who can, you know, beat you one-on-one and get downhill and make plays. So we got to make it a half-court game. And then once we do get in the half-court, they got to be all five. We got to make it a team effort, because they have a lot of individual really good players.
Well, J.D., you got the city of San Diego standing up behind you guys. Good luck this week in preparation, and most importantly, good luck on Friday. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you guys.
J.D., thank you.
J.D. Luster, assistant coach for the Aztec basketball squad on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Odds makers don't believe in the Aztecs too much. 7.5 points for Alabama. That's the second largest spread of any of the Sweet 16 games. The largest spread is Creighton, 9.5 over Princeton.
That's it?
That's 9.5, 10. I mean, how much do you want them to be favored by? Princeton
a lot
looks,
more than
Princeton's
what.
Princeton's looked pretty good.
Yes, they have, but I think the Aztecs are a better team.
Well, Alabama's probably a better team than Creighton.
You're right.
So, anyway, we'll talk a lot about it as the week goes on, getting ready for Friday. Tomorrow, another program. Be with us at 2 o'clock sharp. We'll have a Rate the Radio call tomorrow.
Oh, great calls. Great calls from over the weekend.
Looking forward to all of it. Thanks for being with us. For Tony, for... what's your name?
Scravy.
Usually I say thank you to you first. That threw me off. I'm Chris. Have a good one. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.